Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Everybody, welcome back to the Us Podcast. We're here in Northridge, California.
Coming to you live.
Coming to you live from Cal State Northridge. I am your host, as always, Angel Salinas.
And I am Chris Carmona, and it's all of us, bro.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
That's okay.
It's a podcast about us. I don't know if y'all remember.
just in case you forget,
it's a podcast.
The title wasn't clear enough.
Yeah. So what's up, Chris? It feels like a long time since we've done this one-on-one.
But it was one-on-one episode. Oh, one-on-one. Yeah, it has been a while. The one-on-one has been a while.
Yeah, yes. It's been a while since the last time. But here we are, and if we did everything correctly, this should be episode 10.
Yep.
And it's published. You're listening to it now, so it's
published. What a milestone, dude!
And instead of doing what we usually do, which is I have a general topic to talk about, I'm going to put these keys away because they're going to be jingling and jangling the whole time.
Sounds like Santa Claus.
And guess what time is it? It's burping time.
Uh-oh. Everybody take a shot. Burp counter back on.
Oh, you know me. Today is... What are we doing today, Chris?
We're doing our first Us Podcast Q&A in honor of our 10th episode. Because, Angel, I am really, really stoked that we made it to 10 episodes.
I cannot believe we made it to 10 episodes.
It's so nuts how, like... I believe you asked me about the idea of doing a podcast in July. And we're now in September. And it's like, whoa, dude. Like, 10 episodes. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot. But, like, think of it. It's like we have 10 hours worth of like our voices out
that,
there. Well, yeah, at least over 10 hours. And like that to me is like really nuts that we
and
have
we,
like.
We talked just yesterday about how like we feel like we still have so much to say.
We haven't even scraped the.
Unfortunately for the people surface. That aren't fans of me and Chris, we still have a lot to say.
So keep on, get ready for some more jibber jabber.
Yeah. But like, oh yeah, so today we're going to be answering some questions that y'all submitted.
Yes, you guys submitted questions. Thankfully, I mean, like, you know, they were scattered and far and few between, but we collected them and there's a healthy number.
A lot of you really did not show up.
I know, like people, like you fools really just looked at my story and like, wow, he's asking for questions? Moving on with my day.
Come on, if you were asking me, like, please submit questions for this project you're doing.
Just know we would have done it for you.
I'll do it, yeah. But anyway, for all of you that did do it,
we love you. Thank you so much.
And I don't think I'm going to mention everyone's name, like who told what question, unless I feel like it's specific. Like for this first one,
because we're just going to. I wanted to do just because like a lot of my friends submit, okay. So I want to know. And some of them, like they have been very vocal, like to me privately about like listening. So I want to give them the shout out because like they deserve some cred.
So some I'll mention, some I won't. But y'all know if you are a fan of the podcast, you'll know which question is yours. You were just talking about how short it was from the time we thought of making a podcast to this 10th episode. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect segue into our first question.
I can't wait, dude. I've never done a Q&A before. This is great.
This comes from my good friend here at CSUN, Deja, who just today told me that she's a huge fan of the podcast.
Aww.
She actually asked me,
thank you, Deja.
What advice do you give someone that wants to start their own podcast?
Our first question.
Yeah, Chris just shook the mic. First question, and it's, I'll let you answer that, Chris.
What was the question? I got too excited. I'm sorry.
The first question was, what advice would you give someone who wants to start their own podcast?
Don't go to college.
That's the question for every single question.
No, advice for a filmmaker? Just
I'm not a filmmaker.
I'm sorry.
I said
I'm too excited.
I said, what advice would you give someone who wants to start their own podcast?
Oh, that was the question? I could have sworn it was film.
I asked that three times.
Three's my number. Start your definitely. It's advice that I have said before, and I will echo it again. If you're gonna do it, you don't need. First of all, figure out what it is. Don't. At least I wouldn't, as I'm doing it, be like, "What is this?" I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. But as long as you have like, all right, like this is definitely what it's gonna be, and then whatever it kind of molds into as it progresses, you know, that's just natural evolution. Mm-hmm. But definitely, If you're gonna do it, know what you're at least going for, and at least pre-record 5 episodes.
Yeah.
So that way, because especially if you're a student, especially, that's gonna benefit you, so that you have 5 in a vault, and like when you're ready to release them, you could just be like release them, you know, sporadically, like once a week and everything, and so that way you're ahead of yourself the entire time, and that's what Angel and I've been doing, and it works fantastically.
Yeah, and we actually had to take a week off, and we attributed it to Labor Day.
Yeah.
Just so we can record more.
Yeah.
And have less, like, and if any setbacks arise, well, we have stuff.
The episodes were catching up to us.
They're like, holy shit, dude! Like, we only have one before we're if we miss one, it's gonna look bad.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, just know what you're capable of. I guess.
Like, yes.
Me and Chris even toyed with maybe doing it twice a month as opposed to every week, but
releases.
Know what you're capable of in terms of like release schedule and stuff like that. But most importantly, I would say like talk about something you care about. I would say the biggest is just pick a topic that you're passionate about. Like me, if you haven't known in 10 episodes, me and Chris are kind of big film guys.
Yeah.
So we can literally just talk forever about film, and sometimes we'll even repeat ourselves, and it never feels less passionate. I think
at least. Yeah. No.
When I hear Chris talk, all I hear is like passion. And I would hope it's the same for
yes, definitely.
So just pick something that you want to talk about and just go out and do it. And if you need equipment, well, you know two guys that already have the equipment. So if you want to borrow it and start your own goddamn podcast, maybe you can call it the Goddamn Podcast.
That's a good name.
And so, yeah, the best advice is just to go do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's obviously. But like logistically, like I like what you said, like find a topic. And then just make it happen. And then, but definitely like you'll save yourself a lot of fucking stress and trouble by like pre-recording.
And something that I wish we're trying to, at least for me, trying to unlearn is trying to mimic other podcasts.
Yes.
I think the times that me and Chris's podcast have been the best are when we do things that we're not supposed to do in a typical podcast, like record in a car.
As you heard in the last episode. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Our release schedule is all over the place, but yeah, like record in a car, go to someone's house or something like that, or you know, just like things that you feel no podcast does this, so I shouldn't do it. So just go fucking do it. There's no rules. Break the rules.
Break them. Break them. Break them.
Make an interesting ass podcast.
Great answer, Angel.
Wow, that was such a fluid transition.
Great segue, Chris. So I'm going to go with my next question, and I'm happy to...
let's do it.
Okay, so it kind of falls in line with what we're talking about, because we are... Do you still see yourself as filmmaker first? We've been doing this so much.
Huh, that's the question?
No. It's just my... it's like my preface to this question.
Oh, do I still see myself as a filmmaker first? I feel more... Yes, but now I'm more of like... I think I'm leaning more towards just like storyteller.
Storyteller, yeah.
But film is the first and foremost, like most important medium to me right now.
Cool.
But I feel like I don't mind going out of that medium and into others.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. So that's the thing. It's like what I liked about when we interviewed Young Atita. Shout out to that episode. It's a really good episode. Go check it out if you haven't yet.
I was about to say, go watch it.
Go watch it. I love the idea of being a multi hyphenate. It's just so like fun, and she's right. It's like
it's freeing.
It's freeing, and it's like they call those people the enlightened ones. So I like that we do not things that aren't just movie related, which gets me cool, because like I sometimes get really tired of making movies.
I'm a director.
But all this to say, the next question we have is from my gorgeous friend and wife to be, Adela Ochoa. Shout out, and she's been very vocal. I love her. Huh? Yeah, you heard it here first. Our wedding plans, we're going to get married soon. So, Adela, you know this.
Hawaii?
We talk about it literally every time we talk. We hang out. I'm sorry?
I said Hawaii.
What about Hawaii? Oh, yeah.
Destination wedding.
Destination wedding in Hawaii. You heard it here first, Adela. Anyway, Adela writes, this is for both of us, so we'll both answer. If you could no longer direct, what other career would you pursue? Ooh. With money bag emojis. I don't know what that's about. But
how would you make your money?
So I want to throw that to you, because I'm very interested in what you would be doing if you didn't direct, if you couldn't do it.
Before I found filmmaking, I always considered myself a writer, I guess. Like, I read a lot of novels in early high school before I took my film class.
You read?
I read a lot.
Oh, I heard wrote. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, this is what I want to do. Like, I felt this feeling when I read a novel, when I finished it, like the sense of just like completion, and the sense of just like this is beautiful. Like when you read a certain passage and you're like, damn, that shit was fucking beautiful. That's what I wanted.
So you wanted to be a novelist?
I did, and I wrote a lot of stuff, a lot of short stories, a lot of like quote unquote poetry. And I was just like, I think I'm pretty good, and I would show
slam you. Yeah. Poetry.
Yeah.
Cynthia. Cool.
I wonder when that's gonna be too dated to say.
I know. Yeah.
I hope soon, because I always hated that.
This is probably, like, when people listen to this in the future, this will probably be our what's up. What's up?
It's already the what's up for me. Anytime someone says it, I cringe. That's like someone saying chicka chicka yeah for fucking Superman.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how old are you?
So a novelist, then. Anyway, you would have been a novelist.
I would be a writer, but let's say the me right now, I feel I would lean more towards stand-up comedy.
Nice. Yeah,
that's what I watch a lot, and uh-huh. I literally love this.
Would you try it?
Yeah, I would.
Hell yeah.
But also maybe not, because...
Oh, no.
Only because I hate things where I could possibly fail in public.
I hear you, yeah.
I just can't do that shit. It's too much pressure. Like, when I would perform as in a band, I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, I'm gonna fuck up, and what's going to happen when I fuck up? And that's all that is in my head.
Gotcha.
What about you?
When I was a kid... Mr. Auteur. That's right. You heard it here first. Auteur Esfu. That's me. There was a moment in time in elementary school where I was really into drawing. Like, I still do it, like, for my storyboards and stuff. And I still think I'm pretty all right. Like, I have my own style. It's not like the classic idea of like a great drawer, but it's just like, it's cool in my own little sloppy way. So I wanted to do comic books for a long time. Like, me, I used to have this friend Anais. Shout out to Anais. Anais Orozco, and we used to just hang out together and talk about a series of unfortunate events. Oh, that's cool. We would write comics together and stuff, and like we'd come up with our own, like we made like our own like little a series of unfortunate events ripoffs and stuff, and like nice. I would illustrate and she would write the story, and so I really wanted to be like an illustrator, like an artist. But why I brought up the whole multi-hyphenate thing is because I still have a passion for drawing, and I still love... It's funny. You know what's crazy? It's weird. I haven't read too many comic books just because I wasn't around it a lot, but I love them whenever I read one. Like, whenever I read a graphic novel, I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. Like, I want to do this. And so one of, like, my life goals is, like, to achieve every childhood dream, like, I ever have. Like you said, stand-up comedy. At some point, I'm going to try that. Like, fucking, like, making music. Like, I always thought, like, that would have been the answer, but I'm kind of doing that. I'm starting to, like, really dive myself into that and really push to make that happen. So I don't really consider that, like, another career choice. Like, it's something I'm going to do anyway. Something that I'm not really actively taking part of is drawing. Mm-hmm. And one of my dreams is to write my own graphic novel. Mm-hmm. And, like, so that would be it. Like, I would probably would have been, like, an illustrator. But, you know, at some point I will get to that. Just, like, for now it's still just, like, I would have done this.
Yeah, I'm super jealous of anyone that could illustrate, because I just, like, I'm garbage. And I just look at people that can just so fluidly just draw something that looks good.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. What can I do? Like, I wished my doodles looked as good as their doodles. Like,
yeah.
If my notebook looked... Oh, man, I'm so jealous. Fuck all you
artists. So, a novelist or a stand-up comedian. And I would have been an illustrator. Okay. So, thank you, Adela, for that question. I love you so much.
Nice. I have a lot of, like, really funny, like, just real quick.
Do it, yeah.
Real quick one. Yeah. I'm going to do one right now. My friend Heriberto asks, beer or cocktails?
Cocktails.
I like beer.
I don't like beer.
No?
You know what's funny? I could never drink it even as a 17-year-old. I never liked beer. I always fucking hate it. But these days, now that I'm hanging out more with you and with Jonathan Justin Jimenez, another fucking mention you get. Everybody's just been putting a beer in my face, and I don't want to look like a little punk, so I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. So I drink it, and I'm getting more used to it, and I'm glad to now where, like, I can drink beer in like, a social setting and not be like, eh, give me...
Oh, hell yeah, I hate this.
Yeah, but I do hate it, but I can at least I can swallow it and not want to upchuck it every time.
Okay, so, oh, God, this is like beer bong water.
Exactly.
That's
so
how IPAs taste to me. Fucking bong water.
I never had a fucking IPA. I never want to. It sounds super snobby.
Shout out to anyone that hates IPAs. I'm with you. Woo! If you like it, Fuck you.
Go fuck yourself.
Like you, Chris Granados.
But yeah, so cocktails for me and beer for you.
Yeah, beer right. for me for sure.
Okay, sure.
Especially when it's a when it's made into a michelada.
I never had a michelada.
No.
To be continued.
Well, that's gonna happen yep. next time. You
at
hear
some
me
point,
and Chris, we're gonna be michelada buddies.
Hell yeah!
All right, and then another. I'll do another quick one, and then I'll jump to you.
Go for it, dude.
Chicken or fish?
Chicken. That's my
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I would.
I love fish. I love fish, but fish is very a special occasion meat for me.
I actually hate fish.
Like, really?
Anything, like, if it's not tuna and if it's not ceviche, I can't eat
you
it.
You don't fuck with mojarras?
No.
Fish filet?
No.
Washiota? No.
Chicken sandwich
damn.
Sandwiches? Fish sticks?
Fish sticks are kind of gross.
Salmon? Mignon? Oh, I like salmon.
Mignon's great.
I hate all of that.
Wow.
It's gross.
Okay, so yeah, so chicken. Everybody knows I'm the chicken strips king, so.
So. Everybody knows it's Chris Chicken Strips Carbona.
Finally, a nickname that I can get behind. Not Carbona, not Cagona, not Big Head.
Yeah.
Chris Chicken Strips. I love it. Chicken. Put that on my tombstone.
Dude, chicken, like, chicken strips. Chicken Strips Carbona. Yeah.
So it's like Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Yeah. It's like Chris Chicken Strips Carmona. Yeah. Look at him go.
It's Chris Chicken Little Carmona. All right, those are my two super important questions that I'm glad the answers are out.
I'll throw in another funny one.
All right, let's do it.
This is from I'm only throwing it in because I want to shout out the person because he's been very vocal and I have not had the opportunity to shout him out. The boy Pachardo. I fucking love you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Shadow.
Because I would have never expected you of all people to like be like an active listener. So if you're listening to this, fucking shout out. Enjoy your drive to your boxing gym.
Enjoy boxing.
Enjoy your boxing. I love you so much. His question is, how'd Chris get so hung?
Oh, no.
That's so,
a callback.
So you call back to episode Leo 5?
Yes,
that was 5. I wanted to answer that question because... Let's say we got some shit for that.
We did.
We got some shit for that question.
The episode's been out for a while. Mm. Chris, well, I wouldn't say he got in trouble, but he definitely got some feedback like about feedback.
Indirectly though. Yeah, indirectly.
Indirect feedback yeah. about the way he, I guess, handled himself on uh-huh. that episode.
With Leo, yeah.
And I did tell Chris, like, after the episode, I was like, you kind of said something.
Okay, but not about that. About other things that we cut out. Yeah, the other things
some,
I said.
There's a couple things it was so bad we had to cut out. And people still had a problem.
I
so,
know.
So you can only imagine.
I literally cut out the worst thing that we could have ever put. And like, I still got shit.
Yeah. But the thing that we spoke about was like, Leo and us, like we were very comfortable with each other.
Right.
And like the vibe in that room
yeah.
wasn't creepy or
no, not at all
or like malicious or anything like that. It was just like, you know how when you goof around with your fucking friends,
yeah,
like,
and that's the thing, like I think one thing that I've been really like that's been really kind of cool to see is like, yes, you know, PC culture is I guess good in a lot of different ways, but I also like people that just indulge in just like silliness,
un-PC
and just like someone like Leonessa, our guest, like she's just so cool that she just like, it didn't faze her. She didn't get offended by like the question or whatever. Like, and by the way, like that comment was such an aside thing that like I even totally forgot I said it until she, because she did bring it to my attention that somebody had a problem with it. And so I'm
he
like,
was right at the beginning.
I was like, when did I say that? And then I'm like, oh my god. And I listened back. I'm like, oh god, how did Chris get so hung? So
I literally was just like, ew.
Yeah, yeah. And we moved past yeah. it because I realized I'm like, that was a dumb thing to say. Whatever, let's go on. Yeah. So to the person who had the problem with it. I'm sorry you felt that way, but I did want to stress that I'm still not going to change for you. So,
but are you sorry you said it?
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry I said it, but I'm sorry that I'm sorry that I did it in front of her. I think that would have been more fitting for you and me because uh-huh. it's just us. Like, so who gives a fuck? But yeah. to someone, I will aim to be more respectful in front of you. Like that, like, put it this way. That's not something I would have said to young Atita, you know? Oh, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to have...
How you carry yourself in front of other people.
Exactly. I'm not going to change. I will still make those jokes. So, you know, if you have a problem
with
it...
The privacy of his own home.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself if you have a problem with yeah. it. But...
Chris is very un-PC.
I am.
Fuck everybody.
And that, I actually want that to be a topic soon. So I'm very excited to jump in that with you.
Foreshadowing to a future episode.
Yes. So, anyway, guys, if anybody... Or, Folks, if anybody was offended that I said, if anyone was offended about my hung joke, don't worry, because I thought it was retarded. Let's move on.
That was so genuine. Oh my god. Right,
let's move on. Uh-oh, here comes another.
Podcast over.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah. Everybody, see you later. Oh,
man. Go ahead.
Actually, well, what was your friend's name?
Pichardo?
Yeah, Pichardo. Yes. He sent me a message.
He told me. Yeah. Tell the audience.
He was just like, hey, great podcast. I'm telling you because you're more of a common man. And Chris is too much of a public figure. So he didn't want it to get to Chris's head. So he's like, hey, great podcast, but I'm only telling you. Just so you know. Good podcast.
He's great. I love Pichardo.
All right. Next question, man. That was good.
Yeah, that was fun.
This actually comes from... the great Chris Carmona.
Oh, cool.
He asks, do I have any friends who didn't pursue their passions? And why do I think that happened? Mm. And I'll ask you the same thing.
Sure.
How about you answer this one first?
I do. I'll put it this way. I had friends that were really talented in one, in one skill or art. And I talked about this in the first episode. They... situationally or even mentally, they just didn't think it was something worthy enough to pursue. And it only makes me upset because I get a lot of shit for doing what I do and for being who I am. But that's just because, like, I took advantage of, like, the privilege. I'm not even gonna lie, the privileges that I have. Like, it is, I am privileged to be lighter skinned than most. I am privileged to have a pretty good speaking voice. I'm privileged to come from a family that isn't rich, but is very comfortable and well off. And so I just took advantage of that, and I just continue to try to better myself every day. And, like, I just wish that people, or I wish those friends who were skilled at certain things felt that they were worthy enough, or that at least they had a fighting chance to make it something that they could make a living off of. And it just sucks that, like, it's weird. I was talking about this with my brother Brandon, shout out Brandon, the other day. It's weird seeing everybody. I think I told you this. Like, it's weird seeing everybody become zombies almost. Like awesome. They were so full of life. Like, I watched just this morning. I was watching the old videos of me and my buddies. And I'm like, this guy works at, like, a warehouse now. This dude's doing this. Like, he's not even half as, like, fun as he used to be. And it's kind of sad seeing a lot of, like, my unmotivated friends become just, like, these, like, walking zombies. Are just like, you know, there's
clock in 9 to 5, go home.
There's that great SpongeBob like cutaway where it's like a fish and you just see him, like, in different stages of his life. He's at home, he's got, like, the straight face, he's at work, and then he's in traffic, and then he's at home looking out of the window, and then someone's like, you hear off screen someone go, coming to bed? He's like, yes, dear. And then, like, that's everybody these days. Yeah, and it's like, yeah. And whereas opposed to, I will shout him out again, Pichardo, who, and everybody gives him a bunch of praise for this, who, like, is a boxer, and he's been doing that since he was a kid, and now he's doing, like, fucking professional boxing matches. And, like, so I think that's why he likes this podcast, and why I think why we vibe out a lot more, is because we're actually following through with our fucking passions. And so, like, rather, I mean, it is sad to see, like, my other friends kind of, like, not do that, but rather than kind of, like, that's their life, and I can only feel for you so much because I'm like, you, it's ultimately your choice. So in the meantime, I want to put myself in the same vibration as fucking people like you, fucking people like Pichardo, that are just, like, living their dreams, like, and, like, not letting shit stop them. And, like, sure, they just have, like, good mentalities. And so
I feel like this question came from the one time I was in your room.
Yes.
Watching the, so me and my friend Moises Lopez a long time ago held a show, and we, like, filmed it, and it was a lot of these local bands, and damn, when was, maybe 2011, I would say, something like that, like 2011. And I was watching it, and it's like an hour long. It's really shitty because we didn't know how to export it. It's on like 280p. It just looks like shit. And but I was watching it, and I was like, Chris told me, like, oh, that's why you sound so sad every time you talk about all these older musicians that you were friends with, because everyone was making music together. Like, everyone was in the same space at the same time making music, and now only, like, a handful are still doing it. And I'm watching all these bands that played at the show. It was, like, I think it called it, like, 420 Unplugged. You can find it on YouTube.
Schmeckerbear.
And it's just like, all these bands, a lot of them aren't, not just bands, all these musicians aren't making music anymore. Like, they work in libraries, or they work construction, or they just, like,
yeah,
just giving up everything. Yep. And I just, and then we took a lot of B-roll, and so we saw the audience and stuff, and it's like a lot of my friends there, and they're not doing anything. And it just, it was like a very bittersweet reminder of, like, how long it's been since then, and how not everyone has come with me on my journey to where I am now. And how they were just, they, it wasn't just like they did it as a hobby. Like, I legit looked up to these people, and I was like, y'all are the future. Like, I cannot wait for people to recognize your talent. And then they just stopped. And it's just really sad. And and every time I talk about this, I hope I don't come off as like I'm belittling or looking down
on
people, because it could seem that
way. Definitely, like, who the fuck
are you to tell me that I didn't make it? I'm happy. I have my family, blah, blah, blah. Like, and that's not what I mean. I just mean it makes me sad seeing people I looked up to like not doing it anymore. And I'll have people reach out to me and be like, thank you for still doing what you're doing. Like, I'm glad someone is still doing it.
And settling is very real. Like, you, I think you can be happy as fuck, have a family, but let's be real, if you wanted to be like a fucking singer or an actor or whatever, like, and if you just like, you settled, just, but like, let's be real, like, that's what happened. And so don't get upset when you see other people thriving in like similar fields, or like, at least like making it like really big, because it's like, dude, like, that was your choice, like, you chose to live that way. And that's why, because me, I look at it that way, and it when I say it, it does sound very condescending, but with you, I can hear, like, you even hear in your voice right now, there's like a genuine sadness, and that really touches me, because it's like, damn, like, when, the way I saw you, you look like a little kid watching these clips, you're just like wide-eyed, you're like, this guy was so talented, he had a great voice, like, he's still kind of doing music, this guy still does music, he's great, like, yeah, he stopped, he has a family now. It was like yeah. It was really sad, heartbreaking, yeah. It was bittersweet. It was cute, but it was, you know, it was also like, damn, like,
yeah, cause they're really good, and it's like, keyword, were really good,
yeah,
and it's just like, fuck, man, what could have happened if
y'all continued? I thankfully I wasn't around that many talented people, just cool people, not talented.
It's like just me and my.
It was really just me. That's why I said for a long time, like, I really thought it was just me in the area, you know, because I'm like, fuck, I don't hear about anybody else trying to do this shit.
Love the Prodigy.
I used to call myself that. I'm not even going
to
lie.
We'll throw it back to you.
All right. Well, let's lighten it up. We'll have a little fun one. Guilty. This comes from Leonardo Talavera, old best friend of Jonathan Justin. He managed again.
Fucking... Oh, Leonardo Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. He asks, guilty pleasure movie, Stomp the Yard is Mine.
Whoa. Okay. That's a good question.
Hell yeah.
Oh shit!
Oh no!
Nah.
I said a silent timer.
I thought I said a silent timer. Anyway. Do you have one like in your head already?
Yes.
Okay, I don't.
Okay, I was listening to the soundtrack on the way over here, actually. There's a lot of movies I can consider guilty pleasure, but I will just highlight this one because I think it's a fun fact. The High School Musical trilogy is probably one of the greatest things ever made. I swear to God, on the way here, I was like listening to the High School Musical 2 soundtrack, and like there's a breakup song, the I got to move on and be who I am, and then there's a Zac Efron solo song where he's got like make choices, and he's on this golf course, and he's like, everybody's always talking at me.
That first song reminded me of I think it's Yellow Card, that one, like, no, I don't know who it is, but it's that song that goes like
yeah. But High School Musical, I fuck it, I will sing along to it. I remember forcing my dad to take me. He's like, I think my son is gay. I forced him to take me. What, are you good?
Oh, not yet.
Okay. I forced him to take me to a theater to go see High School Musical 3. I cried when Troy and Gabriella broke up yet again in another movie, and like I realized that there was like a similar formula to all of them. It's like, oh, they really like each other. Something happens. A misunderstanding happens. They have to separate for a little bit. They realize that they both want each other. They come back in like a big musical sequence and everything's okay. And I just fucking love it because those movies were such a big part of my childhood growing up in elementary. And I remember all the girls like were freaking out over Zac Efron, me included. I'm like, this guy is so cute. I'm like, I love the songs. I love I did. I swear to God, for that song, Bet on It, he's wearing like this all black polo with these jeans. And I remember, I swear to God, I was 10 years old watching that on my TV, and as I'm watching him do it, I'm looking through my closet, putting on this black polo like his, putting on black jeans, and I rewound it because I had DVR, and so like I was trying to like mimic the dance moves, and I was trying to put my hair down like his, and I was like, everybody's always talking, bet on it,
that's me on the TV.
Yeah, I used to want to be Zac Efron so bad, so that's why I love him. So High School Musical, that I love those movies with a burning passion. They're so much fun.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't think mine's gonna beat that. This, I guess, guilty pleasure. Even though I think it's a good movie. Like, okay, what is a guilty pleasure? A bad movie that you enjoy?
A movie that you wouldn't consider like a cinematic masterpiece, okay, but like you enjoy it.
I know what it is. It's Scooby-Doo. It's the first.
The first Scooby-Doo. Really?
Movie. I fucking love it, and it's so bad.
Yes.
You look at it, and you're like, this is. The jokes are horrible, but I thought everyone was so well casted. Like,
yes,
I
was like, these
are the characters. Like, yep. They're so funny.
I could look at myself naked.
Yeah, like, it's such a cringy thing. Oh, my God. But, like, for the first time in my life, I was like, holy shit, this is a live-action Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like, look, there's Scooby, there's Shaggy, there's fucking Scrappy-Doo.
And you know what's funny? They have made new live-action, and they look like shit. They look like a poor man's version of that cast. Yeah. Like, they try to cast Matthew Lillard. They try to cast Freddie Prinze Jr. Like,
people that look like that.
You're right. That movie was so well. Like, it will never be topped.
Like, whoever casted those roles knew exactly what they were fucking
doing. You know James Gunn wrote that movie?
Did he write the first one?
He wrote the first one.
Because I know he wrote the second one.
Yeah, he definitely wrote the first one.
Dang, James Gunn.
Making pedo jokes since 2001.
RIP.
RIP to your career.
Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Yes. Thank you for that question, Leo, by the way. That was fun.
Thank you, Leonardo Ninja Turtle. Oh, here's a fun one that I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Who is your dream guest on the podcast?
Oh, somebody asked that? That's so cool. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to think about it.
Yeah, neither did I. You know who I would love to... No. I was going to say Robert Rodriguez, but like... After like the first two parts, you kind of get the gist of what he's about. So I'm like, he would kind of repeat himself, I think.
There's a thing like, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
They're going to disappoint you.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I would love to talk to Quentin Tarantino.
Hell, like, fucking yeah.
Just because I feel like he'd actually talk.
Yes.
And like say things that I want to listen to.
Hell yeah.
And I don't want to interview someone like Robert Rodriguez.
Nah, because it's very like polished. Yeah. You know, like he prepared beforehand.
He'll just be like,
love you, Robert. I'm just saying, you know, no shade.
Like if he doesn't want to talk, he won't talk.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Quentin be quiet.
Hold back. He never holds back.
I've never seen him be quiet about anything.
Yeah.
So that would... I don't know if that'd be my dream one.
Right.
That's the one right off the top of my head. Like, talking to Quentin Tarantino would be super dope. Oh, I know who my fucking...
Okay. I have a couple, but go ahead.
Right, I'll let you go, and then I'll tell you...
Okay, so I'll say one, you say one, and I'll say another one. Another person that I would love to have on, actually, it's actually two people, the Safdie brothers, who made Good Time. Because I would fucking just, I want to bro out with them, be like, listen, you fuckers, Good Time was fucking amazing. And like, I want to just, because they're just such like rough New Yorkers. Like when you hear them talk, like they're not snobby.
You said you met them, right?
I didn't meet them. I just talked to them on Twitter and they gave me like a post. They sent me the poster. But I would just love to talk to them, especially because they're so fucking young and like, now that like their next movie is gonna be like executive produced by Martin Scorsese, and it's gonna have Jonah Hill, Adam Sandler in dramatic roles.
What the fuck?
Like hell, like this their next movie, Uncut Gems, just sounds so fucking tight. I would just love to bring and be like, yo guys, just talk to us about like the craft. Like, what do you guys do in your life? Like, cause they're just like literally they just dress in sweatshirts. They have their own production company. They're so fucking like young, and like. They just get me so excited. So I would love to have them on. That would be a really fun. And I remember I even came up with the title actually from when we had them. Oh, like, man, like having a good time with the director's job. Anyway, so that's one of my dream guests for sure. Josh and Benny Safdie, we're going to have them on one day.
I know who my number one would be for sure. Alejandro Jodorowsky. He is a fucking maniac. He's a director of...
I know the name.
Like the Holy Mountain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Fucking Dance of Reality. And I've heard him speak in interviews. And he is so, like... He's so otherworldly. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. He thinks like no other human being I've ever seen speak. Like, the way he thinks. So, there's this movie called Jodorowsky's Dune, which is a documentary about how he almost made a movie based on what's considered the best sci-fi novel ever made, Dune.
The one that David Lynch made in like...
Yeah, David Lynch eventually directed it and it was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But Jodorowsky was going to do it first because he was just so out there. And the documentary is him... This is when I was like, dude, I respect you so much. He starts collecting all these talented ass people to help him. He gets like Pink Floyd to sign on to do the soundtrack.
Wow.
He gets fucking Salvador Dali to star in it.
To
star as one of like the main like bad guys of the movie. He gets H.R. Geiger to do like the concept art. H.R. Geiger is the guy that did Alien and like the concept for Alien and stuff. And he starts collecting all these fucking, he calls them like his warriors.
Wow.
And he makes everyone live in the same building so they so they can all like work together to make this crazy fucking project, and it just doesn't come to fruition. But he in an interview he says he's more concerned with the image than the story that the image is telling. Like, he loves crafting images that will stay with you for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, one of the openings for one of his movies, it's like a man waking up and he's surrounded by these like Jesus mannequins, and he's just in this, and there's a lot, and dude, the shit he makes and the shit he films, it's just insane. Like, who thinks of this?
Yeah.
And like, I would love to just be like, who are you? Like, for a fucking,
how old is he now?
He's old as fuck. He's almost out the door, but he's still making movies.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll cut it there. That's really cool.
You want to talk about your
I do. Okay, I'll say it. You know, he's a big inspiration of mine, and I've met him a couple times. He'd be great. Harvey Weinstein would just be so much fun. I'm just kidding. No, Damon Chazelle.
You can't discredit the things he's done for Hollywood. I mean,
he's a titan, dude. He's a legend. No. Damon Chazelle. Quickly, I met him a bunch of times. We've had Taco Bell with him. We had Panda Express with him when he came to ICF.
Taco Bell was another director.
That was someone else. Sorry. No, but he's great. I would just love, because he, I could just tell, like, you know, he's a skinny, quiet guy, but I could just tell there's just like so much burning within. I'm like, just talk to us, man. Like, you're like a dangerous poodle almost. Like, you're just like, your looks are deceiving, because I bet you're just really fucking intense and crazy. And he'd be really fun, I think, to interview. So that's my second dream guest.
All right.
So the Safdie brothers and Damon Chazelle, and then for you,
Jodorowsky and Quentin Tarantino.
Sick.
All right, let's do another. Let's do another question here.
Someone.
Chris is gonna
struggle. I'm better now. We are on the topic of dream guests, so this leads into this question, and it's from Ramon Rivera. I know you call yourself Raymond, but I'm gonna say your name. How it's supposed to be pronounced? Ramon Rivera. Love you, dude. Thank you so much for taking me to comedy shows and Six Flags. You're the best. He asks, what celebrity, living or dead, would you guys have do a cameo in one of your projects?
Dang, that's a good one.
So I will throw the question over to you.
Okay, so I want to pick one dead and one alive. So
great.
My alive dream actor to work with would be this actor named Lucas Hedges.
Okay.
Who is... I think he's amazing in everything. He co-starred in Manchester by the Sea.
Lady Bird.
He was in Lady Bird.
Three Billboards.
He was in Three Billboards. He was a little kid in Moonrise Kingdom. Like, every single performance he gives, I think, is just fantastic. And he just, like, if you've seen Manchester by the Sea, there's that scene by the freezer that he does where it was just, like, for me, just, like, cemented.
But you'd want him just to do a cameo?
Oh, as a cameo?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the question is.
Yeah.
I thought it was just working.
No. Yeah, cameo.
As a cameo? Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah. You're incredible in this scene. I just want you to stand over there for a second. Like, that'd be cool.
Right there.
You have one line.
I'm not going to follow the question.
You're good. No, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm not working with the question. Yeah, I would want to work with Lucas Hedges. I think
cool.
Good.
Dead. Living? Okay. Cameos are always fun because... I like what Quentin does, where he like brings back these old TV stars into like these cool roles. And so one thing that I would do, I will say this one just because it's a little more mainstream and it's more specific. I remember one time I had a dream, and when I had this dream like that I shot this cameo in my movie, it made me feel like, dude, like this, my whole career just came full circle. I would love for just one shot, one perfect shot in any movie, for two police officers, right? They're chilling in a diner. They're just kind of like, their backs are to camera. And then something crazy that's happening in the movie happens right outside, like, the diner windows, right? Like, maybe, like, a fucking big car crash or whatever. Or, like, some big thing happens. And these two cops turn around. They look at each other. And they go back to eating their pancakes. And it's Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta.
Oh, my God.
A Pulp Fiction throwback. Like, just to have, like, older versions of them to, like, quickly, like look back, look at each other, and just, like, and then keep, like, eating.
You're like, whoa, what universe is a universe where John Travolta's...
Yeah, and that would be me, like bringing the Carmona-verse to the Tarantino-verse, like,
you know? Oh, look at baby Vincent Vega didn't die.
Yeah, and I would just... I know that, like, people run wild with theories, and that gets me... That like, that dream I had just got me so excited. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking do that. So that's awesome. That's one of my dreams, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna pick a... I'll pick a dead cameo. I'll stick to the question this time. I would say fucking... Juan Gabriel for a fucking...
Really?
For a cameo? I would... That's great. I always love this thing about casting, like, famous, huge musicians...
Yeah.
...in really small, insignificant roles in a movie. Such yes. as, like, I always... Here's a dream that I hope I one day do, just like you. They're not dead, but I've always wanted to cast Metallica as, like, a dad band.
Oh, like, that's cool. Like, yeah.
There's this, like, TV show that I want to do that focuses on musicians and artists and stuff. And it would focus on this high school band, and then they would be throwing a show, and the main character's dad would be like, "Hey, you think my band could play?" His dad is fucking James Hetfield from Metallica, and then his band is fucking Metallica.
Yeah,
but they're not Metallica.
They're just like a bunch of, like, lame dads.
Yeah. But I would love for, like, Juan Gabriel to be, like, just, like, a guy you hire at a party to sing. Like, and he's just, like, singing all night for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, the music for the scene would come from, like, his music. And, like, he's not Juan Gabriel. He's just, like, an older gentleman that goes to parties and sings and shit.
That's so tight.
Because sometimes you'll be at a restaurant and these mariachi people will come and they're so fucking talented. Or even people that sing on the bus or the train.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck are you not working? So I would love to have someone as talented as him be, like...
Like, just play
just
a little.
There, like, at a party.
That's so tight. This next one is kind of, like, why I picked that specific cameo. Because I always plan for cameos. But I picked that one because it ties into this one. Dead Slayer. And I got excited that you said a musician. Because I also have a musician. A dead musician. Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain was supposed to be the drug dealer in Pulp Fiction. Like, no him way. And Tarantino were working that out. He was supposed to be, you know, like, the little black book. Give me, you know, do the shot. Yeah. He was supposed to be that guy. But, like, something happened where, like, they were touring and they couldn't work it out. So they got Eric Stoltz. But I would love to put Kurt Cobain in, like, a small, like, little, like, role somewhere. Like, that would be super fun.
Like, that kind of stuff is so cool. Like, have him as a cashier or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Kurt Cobain.
This isn't a dead person, but, like, one of my dreams that I will throw into is I would love to have Justin Bieber. He's a terrible actor, but I love him as a musician. So I would cast him as a pizza guy that doesn't say anything. He's just like a super big pop star, just like as like this pizza dude that like every time he wants to speak, something like shut up, or like, you know, like, and then like he'd like it'd be one of those moments where like he's at a party or whatever, he's like trying to like deliver this fucking pizza because nobody will take it from him, and he goes on stage and they're like, you know, like those cheesy movie moments, like, hey man, like, you want to sing, huh? And like he looks at it, he grabs the mic, he's like, he's about to sing, and someone fucking like knocks him out, or like he doesn't get any chance to speak. So like,
you know,
something
the
like that would be really
funny. Horsemen do that all the time. Like,
really?
Like little like it'll be like, hi, I'm Daniel Radcliffe.
And it's Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's all they do. It's like, hi, I'm Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I thought that they got like people that sounded like them, but you look in the credits,
yeah,
like,
it's them. Like, yeah.
Just that one little line. People from Robot Chicken would do that shit too. Like,
that's cool.
Famous people to do like.
It's just funny because like, well, it's fun seeing like these monster, like huge celebrities just do like minor things. It's just because they're
Southpaw
that fun.
Did that too with like George Clooney.
Deadpool did that. Did you see like a bad fit? That was so random and fun.
Let's hope we get there.
No hoping. It's gonna happen for sure.
All right. Now on to the little bigger questions. And we're almost wrapping up, but not yet.
Yes.
So this is something that kind of ties to an earlier question. My friend Vivian asks, what happens if everything you worked for to become a filmmaker doesn't work out the way you want it to, and you're hit with all these financial and personal responsibilities? Would you quit or put it on pause, or what would you do if that would ever happen?
Mine will be quick to that one. I never planned to fail, and it's there's very few things. I'm slowly gaining confidence in like all aspects of my life, thankfully, but even in my worst mental state, I've never not thought I was going to be hugely successful in this field, just because I've been working at it so long. There's so much that, like, ideas that I have, and there's so much I know I have to offer. So what I would say to that question is, like, I wouldn't even think about that, just because, like, I don't allow that into my reality. And I know that's, it's different for everybody, and, like, people want to be more realistic, and, like, they want to be prepared, and, like, that's good. But I think part of my whole narrative is that I didn't fucking go to college, and I had no idea I was gonna be a filmmaker. Thankfully, it's working out, and the Inner City Filmmakers thing came my way when I said, I don't know how, and they're like, here you go. I'm like, oh, great. So I'm just going to keep riding that wave of, like, I know that, like, life is just giving me a bunch of cool new opportunities. So, like, I don't even think about that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. I would say something similar, but I will say this. I'm not going to stomp until, like, it kills me, yeah, you know?
Nice.
Even if I'm 60 and I haven't gotten any success from anything I've made, that's not gonna make me stop. Even like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, yeah,
I can't see anything that could happen that would make me be like, you know what, it's time to stop.
It's a simple answer, but it's effective. Like, it's true. It's like, that's that, but that's the mindset, like, what people listening should take away from that in any profession is, like, just don't allow room for failure. I don't fucking believe in plan B's at all.
I was about to literally just say that.
Perfect.
Like, once you have a plan B, you set yourself up to,
that's right,
fail at plan A.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care how long I hope it doesn't take me until I'm 60. Like, a big thing is, like, I want to be a young filmmaker so younger filmmakers don't feel like they have to wait till they're 40 to make their first feature. Like, that's a big thing I want to do. But even if I'm 40, 50, 60, I'm not going to stop until this shit fucking kills me or someone kills me. So, yeah.
So if anybody's trying to kill Angel, you know, there's your opportunity.
If you want to stop, have me stop making movies,
just kill him. Have to kill me. The answer's simple: kill the Batman. This is great. Like, the questions are flowing so naturally. I do have a question from somebody who's an active listener. I do want to shout her out. Let me find her name really quick. This question comes from Mary or Mari Lopez, and she asks, "What's some advice you guys have for high school students from around the area?" Bell Gardens, I guess, is specific to her. "Looking into get into film, but have no clue where to start. Any programs you'd recommend?"
Oh, shit. High school. I think regardless of our experiences with this program, we're always going to recommend Inner City Filmmakers.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, everyone's got something to say, good and bad, about the program, but there's no denying the influence and impact it's had on both.
I mean, that's how fucking Angel and I got to know. Like, we would have never, like, had any,
a common thread.
Yeah, common thread to connect us together.
And so many fucking talented people we know.
I met my dudes there, my fucking two collaborators who I made my movie with, the genius boys.
Come from Inner City Film.
Shout out Tony Jose. Yeah, Inner City Filmmakers, like, the people are great.
Yeah.
The people that you meet there, like, it's gonna overpower, like, the experience, good or bad, you know.
Not only the people teaching it and the people that founded it
or run it,
Fred and Steph. The people that get accepted are usually from similar backgrounds from you. And it's such a good feeling to be like, oh, shit, you're from Linwood. You're from Bell, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And even if they're not, like, everyone comes from pretty, I want to say, poor backgrounds.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't have the resources like USC, and they're not going to NYU or whatever. And if they do, like, I never talk to them again.
It's a lot like college. I mean, to me, that was my college, because, like, people from different backgrounds and people even from my area that I had fucking no idea existed that are trying to do what I'm trying to do. And so, like, that's what I really love. I did tell them, like, Inner City Filmmakers. And so for anybody that's trying to look for, because there's yet to be a better program that isn't a scam or, like, doesn't just straight up suck, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, they've been going at it for 25, 6, 7, I don't know how many years, and
24, 25, something like that.
So they you know, and they're well known too, like, within the industry. So like, it's a great place to go. You get great exposure, you get to meet great people. We fucking met Damien Chazelle before he blew up with Whiplash.
Yeah,
there,
I can't believe, and now he's the biggest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah. And so, like, we got to, like, I talk about, like, we had Pan Express with him. That was that time. He was just hanging with us.
Ulysses has a picture of David Chazelle with a banana.
In the hotel room. So it's great. And, you know, they take you to Sundance, and if you get accepted.
If they let you.
But, you know, Inner City Filmmakers is the program I'd flex.
Number two, I would recommend this program called Global Girl Media. That specifies.
This is new to me.
Yeah, in, like, female filmmakers, female content creators, and creates a space where they can all just be together
yeah.
and lift each other up.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's a very specific program, but I think it's a very important program.
Definitely.
And my friend Contra actually like got in this year to that program.
Oh, cool.
And she wouldn't have heard about it if I didn't post about it on my story. And she like, she's like, hey, I'm not, like, they haven't announced it yet, but I got into the program.
Wonderful.
I just want to say thank you because I wouldn't have applied if you didn't post about it. And that's the kind
of shit. Look at your influence.
That's the kind of shit that we're talking about. Like,
yep.
Put out these offers, even if it's not for you.
Yeah.
Someone might see it and be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to apply.
Yep.
And one final piece of advice, just keep fucking creating. Like,
yeah.
And be okay with creating shitty things because you're in high school.
Let it be bad.
Yeah, let it be bad because you're going to make some shitty things. And the way to get better is to be bad first.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely
make anything as long as you're, because you can't get better if you're not just sitting down not doing it.
I will add really quick, I was talking about this earlier. I was walking my dog and I was listening to my old podcast, The Carmona Complex, and like, I don't think it's bad, but like, I just like, as I'm listening to it, I'm like, yeah, I can see why nobody like tuned in excitedly to this. But what I was remembering, I'm like, but dude, like, because of this show, because of this idea that I had, just because I thought the Carmona Complex sounds kind of cool, what if it was a radio show / podcast about three guys living in the shitty apartment with me and my three friends, and when the podcast ultimately failed, I said, oh, well, maybe I can make it a show. That would be cool, and we can call it the Carmona Complex with three dudes living in this apartment. I said, you know what? That idea is kind of lame. What if the one of the leads falls in love with his neighbor, and they meet over this dog, and that became Instant Crush.
Whoa, no way.
That became Instant. I remembered the link. I'm like, that's Instant Crush. I made Instant Crush because of this fucking little podcast that I thought, oh, this will be a stupid thing that I did once. But no, it led to me making Instant Crush.
That is wild.
So like literally everything you do will affect your future in a great, you'll see why that wasn't necessary for you to go through.
Man, that links perfectly to this next question. Woo! That,
look at us.
Yeah, that is, we're so professional.
We're great, and I haven't said to me once.
The question is pretty much asking, how do we come up with ideas for projects? Is there a process in formulating our stories? Are there ever any roadblocks in completing or starting a project? Also, by the way, Chris, I saw your adaptation of Romeo and Juliet in Mr. Diaz's class, and it was really good.
Oh my god. Oh boy.
Were you Romeo? Jesus.
Yes. Of course I was. Course I wouldn't cast anybody else to be Romeo. Excuse you.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. So yeah, pretty much, how do you come up
thank you for the question. And thank you for enjoying it. And saying it was good, because it's not.
Yeah, how do you come up with these ideas? How do you come up with
them? I don't know. People ask me this a lot.
Chris literally has shown me a list of his roadmap of his future. Like, these are all the films I'm going to make.
The Carmonaverse, yeah.
And I'm just, oh yeah, the Carmonaverse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, like, yeah. You have this shit legit planned out.
I think just because I've always been, it really, like, it's just a lot of like me not paying attention in class. Like, that list is a product of me just like, oh, this would be a cool movie to do this, and just like not listening to the teachers. Again, here's the thing: as an artist, I think it's bullshit if you can like try to like, let me break it down my process for you, because it's really like literally like it's just random thoughts that I have. I noticed that my narrative is that like I just like think of things that people don't usually like. What would happen if this? I've talked about this before. I'm like, what would happen if this happened, but this person was doing this? That'd be a cool movie. And then like, it kind of builds from there, and like, it's just really like, I don't want to say the cliche answer, life inspires me, but that's really kind of what it is. It's just like things around me, and I'm very observant, just because like, I'm new to having like, I didn't have friends a lot growing up or I didn't have friends that would like talk to me. So I would be around girls a bunch and I'd watch other people talk. So I just became a natural observer of just things. And that's why I feel like I have an ear for like how people speak or whatever. And so ultimately it's just, I'm just always looking at things around me, and I'll ask questions if something like kind of tickles my fancy. That's how I come up with ideas.
I would say my biggest inspiration comes from people. Like, I'll listen to people's stories, or if someone's like a very character kind of person, I'm just like, man, they'd be a really cool character.
Cool.
Like, I'll see how they're dressed or how they look. I follow people on Instagram because they fucking inspire me, just like the way their feed looks or the way their fashion is. And I'm just like, man, like, I want to make a character that looks like you, or I want you to be the character sometime.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. There's just, I find a lot of inspiration in human beings for sure. Like, how they speak, how they write, the way they think, the way they look and dress. That's what inspires me.
Yeah.
And then I'll set some time aside and like get to listen to their, I'll, I'll set some time aside and listen to their stories and stuff. Like, a lot of my ideas and film ideas come from people's stories. Like,
yeah,
maybe not even their personal stories, just like fucking stories they tell to entertain a party or whatever. Like, that's where it'll come from. So I would say my biggest inspiration is people.
That's cool, man. I like that you... I can tell that you're very interested in people because you are definitely someone who, like, likes to hang out with interesting characters.
Yeah,
and I think so. That's cool that, like, not only, like, are you just, like, naturally curious about them, but, like, that they inspire you to create.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't wait to see, like, who that I know would ever come out in one of your, like...
Oh, yeah, I do plan on, like, taking us, like...
Same, yeah,
so,
same.
So much of the... what I want the first season of my eventual TV show to be are from like different parts of local bands
yeah.
that I've met in my life. And I just want to take their, sometimes complete like their whole story. Like my friend Mario Cid has this story about why he stopped having parties in his backyard because one day he saw like five guys doing cocaine off his washing machine.
Jesus.
Off his washing machines in the backyard.
My mom uses that.
And then we have this joke like, no mom, that's just laundry detergent. It's like, I swear. And so it's like shit like that.
That's
like,
so you good. You
can't make that up.
No, yeah, you can't. Let's take a little break.
All right, for sure.
Let's take a little break. You know, give everybody like a little bit of a refresher.
Let's take a little break and we'll see you soon.
Kickback, thanks for listening. And again, guys, just before we go, like, or at least for the break, thank you so much. You all, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you for all the wonderful feedback that you're finally bringing my way now, which is nice. Every now and then. Yeah, it's just great. I'm glad that to be doing 10 episodes with you, and I love the show.
Here's to 10 more.
And many more.
Yeah, all right. We'll be back. Hey everybody, we are back from our break and now we're doing this again. If I sound a little tired, it's just because I was walking around campus for like 45 minutes.
You guys took like a 10 second break. We straight took like an hour break.
We chilled out. We watched the whole Seinfeld episode.
Yes, we did.
Time. Yeah. But we're coming back and we're going to round it off with a few more questions and then we're going to call it a day.
Yep. So, that's right.
I think one of my... This is a really good question that I'm glad we can have the time to answer. It's, what is it about film that excites you?
Hmm.
That's such a very... That's a very broad
question. It's a very broad question, yeah.
It's like, what is it that drew us to film in the first place? I think I'll go ahead and answer.
Go,
like,
yeah.
I think it's just a culmination of everything that I've enjoyed in life. Like... visuals and
music
and writing and photography, like just everything coming together for this super being of a fucking medium.
Yeah.
And I think
because people forget that filmmaking isn't just visuals. There's like there's sound and like it's fun to play with Foley, and like if you're a big music guy, like I want this like think about like a fucking song that you grew up loving and you get to craft it to a scene that you wrote. Yeah,
exactly. That's like those moments where like a song and a scene felt almost made for each other.
It's almost like you collaborated with that band love to make that moment.
And then you'll always remember like that one scene with that one song in
it.
Like Tarantino does that shit really well.
All the time.
Like the fucking Reservoir Dogs, you can't hear Steely Dan without listening to that. Is it Steely Dan?
No, it's Stuck in the Middle with You.
By Steely Dan, I think.
I don't think it's Steely Dan.
It's not Steely Dan?
No.
Well, whatever. Stuck in the Middle with You, Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. Everyone knows that scene. Everyone, at least for me, anyone that hears that song, they think of that scene immediately. As well as the opening for Pulp Fiction and shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that song that they specifically for the opening of Pulp Fiction is attributed to like Quentin Tarantino. Every time he comes onto a show, they always play "Boom!" like a live talk show. And I love he just comes out to it every time. Yeah. That's like that's his version of like George Lopez. Every time you see George Lopez,
I would hate for that song to be my legacy.
Me too.
Like, it's like, hey, that's a lowrider, man. It's just like, hey, what's up, everybody?
But yeah, you're right. That is what excites me. It's just like it's a marriage of all the things I love, you know. Yeah, you're right. That's the perfect way to put it. It's just a marriage of like different passions into one big super being of a beast.
I also think it's the best way to catch people at their most intimate moments, like with like a really nice close up of someone that just got their heart broken and shit. Like us in real life, we can't be that close to another person and have it be normal. Mm-hmm. But with film, for some reason, like, we get these little windows into people's vulnerable moments in their personal lives that we otherwise wouldn't get in real life.
You know what is really nice too about movies, about wanting to do movies, is like, sometimes you'll write, like, this happened to me quite a few times with, like, shorts that I made or even Bad Labor, like, where people said, like a scene that I just thought, like, oh, we need this scene either, like, because this scene has to happen in this part of the movie, or, like, oh, like, I'm just gonna write this just so it can lead into this. And people be like, dude, like, that moment really spoke to me. I'm like, really? And then they're like, yeah, like, I love that, like, everybody can take different things away from a project. Yeah,
that was just a story beat from
yeah, that was like, that was just a little thing I wrote in the meantime. But
transition,
or like, we didn't script that, you know, like stuff like that. That's always fun, and it's just so spontaneous.
That's the beauty of it. It can mean so many different things to so many different people.
I noticed that with I know we're extending this question, but I noticed that with you, like, I was listening to you because you were like raving about this episode of Justin Simien's podcast Don't At Me with Ava DuVernay. Mm-hmm. And you're like, dude, it's so powerful. And like, and I listened to it and I was like, I thought it was good. I loved it. But that's so weird. The Angel was like moved by it. And even with Nanette, I watched the Hannah Gadsby Nanette and I watched it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. But it's weird how, like, to you, that was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, literally. You know? Like, when I saw Nanette, I had to sit. I told you, like, yeah. I was laying down. I had to sit up and be like, I cannot believe I'm watching this right now. I can't believe she's saying what she's saying. Uh-huh. It was so, yeah, in that moment, it was so powerful. Yeah. It's just like,
it's just that's what's so cool about the medium. It's just that, like, it can, not only is there,
and you'll listen to an artist or an album and you'll be like, it was like I was waiting for this person my whole life. And I'll be like, yeah, he's good.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah. But, cool. That's a really cool question. Mm.
What about you?
So keeping in line with the whole movie narrative, this is the last one I have from a good friend, Freddie. Thank you for sending a question, man. What movie scene or movie in general was the one that hit you with the fuck, I want to make films? Whoa. That's a good question. That's a big question.
That is a big question. Fuck, I want to make films? Like, what film made me do that?
I'll take it while you think of one. There's a lot of scenes where, like, I mean, I can talk of, I talked about Spider-Man, I talked about Good Time, how that just, like, fucking, like, energized the fuck out of me. I talk about how Wolf of Wall Street is my favorite movie of all time. Like, I left that theater shaking. But I want to talk about Whiplash. Mm. Because Whiplash is a movie from 2014 directed by Damien Chazelle. We talked about him earlier. And I went in with no real expectation. We had met him that year at Inner City Filmmakers. And they're like, oh yeah, his movie went to Sundance. Like, nobody was raving about it though. They're like, yeah, he made a really good movie. Like, and I just thought, oh, we're gonna watch this good movie. And I went, I sat down, and I was watching. I'm like, oh yeah, this is really good. And you know, if anybody's seen the movie, they know that there's this incredible 10-minute ending that is just, I won't even get away, but it's just so fucking powerful that, like, when it ended, I jumped up out of my seat. I didn't scream, but I was just like, and I was like, oh my god. I'm like, yes.
Like, you have the balls to end it like that.
Yeah, and I was like, this is what I want to do. Like I want to have a fucking ending that makes just some fucking kid jump out of the seat with, like, fuck, fuck.
Like, that was a motherfucking movie. That was,
like, that, I'm like, literally, I guess it's kind of a spoiler, so spoilers, a slight spoiler. I'm like, literally, nobody said a fucking word, and that was probably one of the best endings I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Mm-hmm. And, like, how the fuck did he do that?
That's visual storytelling.
Exactly. Right, that's what I loved about it. So Whiplash is the, like, that, especially that final, like, watch the movie if you haven't. It's fucking great.
I will say, I don't know if I had a, like, fuck, I want to make movies, but I did see a movie that was like, I want to make movies like this. Mm. It was There Will Be Blood by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Hell yeah.
I saw that movie in theaters, and from the fucking second it started with this big long shot, and you just hear this fucking screeching guitar, just like, and the whole movie from that first scene is fucking perfect. Like, anyone asked me, do I think there's a perfect movie? Yeah, it's There Will Be Blood. Every single fucking frame in that movie is perfectly executed. Hell yes. Everything about that movie is perfect. I would not change a single thing, a single frame. And I was like, wouldn't it be great to be a filmmaker that has the movie so fucking planned out that nothing seems like it was on accident? Mm-hmm. Like, nothing seems like it was because they had to cut to this. it wasn't like they were switching between coverage. It was everything was for a reason. And I'd never had that experience watching a movie before. Like, to see a movie where I can feel the planning and the intention in every single scene.
Yeah.
Because there's you'll see some movies and you're like, oh yeah, this is the scene that he cared about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they have a diner scene and you can see there's just master shot over the shoulder. This was just a normal scene for them. And there will be blood. There was not a single fucking moment.
Hell no.
I was just blown away. I saw it at the ArcLight theaters. Everything about it is.
I am a false prophet, and God is a superstition.
Fuck, and then that ending too.
Oh yeah, I'm finished.
It's fucking mind blowing.
You saw that at ArcLight? How old were you?
No, it was like a. It was
Okay, cool. Like, that's tight.
They were doing like a famous filmmaker month.
Oh, because I saw it when I was a kid. I saw it on DVD. Really? And it's so funny. I love that you say that because I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk about it because when I was a kid, I fucking didn't understand anything. Like, I just knew, like, my dad kind of explained, like, oh yeah, back then they used to dig for oil and shit. So that's all I understood. But I just remember watching it and, like, even as a kid, I just remember, I'm like, oh, like, this director, like, knows what he's doing. And you know what? There's a moment where I think the whole scene is just on Daniel Day-Lewis's face. And I remember watching it and thinking, like, you know, because I'm so used to, like, the typical, like, way movies are supposed to play with the cutting. I'm like, man, they're really holding on his face for a long time. And I even thought, like, is the movie broken? I'm like, they're not cutting away to anything. And I got scared. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
oh, the movie scratched.
Yeah, like, the movie, I thought it fucked up so bad that, like, it's just on his face forever. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what? Why are we just on his face? Like, I can hear the people around him, but, like, and it worried me.
That was like a haunted DVD.
I thought, I was so scared. But I remember when it ended in, like, in that, like, new, in, like, that new English, like, there will be blood. I'm like, yeah. Wow. For a long time, I'd call it my favorite movie, but it was just because, like, it affected me so profoundly. I'm like, wow, like, I just knew that whoever made this, like, fucking had a vision, mm-hmm. and like he executed, and like that was the first time I ever saw a shot that went on, and I was like, wow, we're really here for a while. I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah. And I rewatched it recently and I'm like,
it's fucking perfect. Incredible. I'm an oil man.
I love it.
Like, oh man, everything about that shit.
Give me the blood.
I love Daniel Day-Lewis and I love that movie.
It's fantastic. So, go see it.
Yeah, go see that shit. I'm glad that we're incorporating like recommendations.
Yeah, we're sliding them in too.
This might be the last question. I don't know. We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
Let's do it.
But
let's get it.
This question comes from our good friend Adi. She asks,
oh boy,
what do we think about how society views and promotes college, especially in the Southeast LA community? I feel that a lot of parents and elders promote college because they view it as the only way one could succeed, but I can't help but consider whether or not that may be detrimental to kids that aren't considering college or wish to pursue something that college won't necessarily help them achieve. What do we think about that?
Wordy question.
Yeah. Pretty much too long, didn't read version.
Yes, we'll skip it. Sorry, Ali.
How do we feel about, like, pretty much the older generation putting so much effort into making kids go to college?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like...
You take this away. You're the ambassador for college here.
I'm sure you have opinions on it too.
I do.
I think... And also, Adriana's asking, do we think that hurts people that don't want to go to college?
Interesting. Does she go to college?
Yeah. She goes to East LA College.
Okay.
And I think I will always think that...
Of course.
School is only gonna benefit you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. If you go for a semester, if you go for 5 years, I don't think you could learn less by going to school. The older generation, I do think, pushes school to the point where it could possibly take you away from things you love. Mm-hmm. I know my mom for sure, like, when I got into a program that was going to make me not go to school for 5 weeks, she was like, I wish you didn't get accepted because now you're going to miss school. And I'm just like, but don't you see how this helps me with my career, with what I love to do? That doesn't matter. School comes before everything. Mm. And I think that's a very problematic mindset. But I think it comes from being older and being like, that's the way to succeed. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the opportunity to get higher education, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my children to get what I couldn't.
Yeah. I think the dumbed down version that I will say is that our parents are basic But that's not their fault, because the only way that they knew, again, this is pre-phones, this is pre-social media, this is pre-influencers. The way to do things was, think about this, labor, oh no, no, school, college, 9-to-5 job, family, kids, and like that, that's it, die, and that's it. But I joke about this with my dad all the time. It's like, I'm like, he'll be like, God, you have it so easy. And I'm like, then why'd you come here? I'm like, if you wanted me to struggle, why don't you stay the fuck in Mexico, you know? And so, like, I'm like, I just think it's so funny how, like, parents, like, and it's not their fault. That's the thing you have to understand. Like, for as much as we can make fun of them, you have to understand, like, this is all they know. They don't get social media. Like, it's literally just like they see us dicking around on our phones and they're just like, wasting their time. But maybe for some, it's a career, you know, being an influencer, being a personality, like
hundreds of thousands of followers, getting brand deals.
I think what it is they don't even fucking realize how much opportunity is actually here. Like,
the world's a completely different place,
especially in the States. I mean, we can shit on it all we want, but there's a lot that can, like, a lot of dumb people can get famous here. And I think, rather than like get mad and be like, man, parents just don't understand, just, you know, like, I think it's good to have a little bit of doubt on your side, because then when you do make it, like, how cool is that? Like, how rewarding of a feeling would that be to, like, not really necessarily to rub it in their faces, but to say, like, hey mom, like, or hey dad, like, look, like, this thing that you didn't think I was gonna do, like, I did it and I'm fucking succeeding great at it. And like, they'll come to realize, like, oh shit, like, they did do, like, what I brought them here for, like, to fucking thrive and, like, and get opportunities that they wouldn't have gotten back in the motherland, wherever you guys, like, are from.
I don't know if I told you, but my mom didn't really believe that I was doing anything important until I told her I was editing a movie with two Telemundo superstars.
Like, really?
One guy named Mario Simaru and Socorro something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I know those two. She's like, you're editing a
once
movie
you,
with
once
them?
They know, like, the people that you're working with, then you've made it. I was, or like, you're doing,
I'm
well.
I'm editing a movie that they did in Honduras. And I was like, look, this is them. Like, look at this trailer I did. And then she's like, okay. And then she started telling her friends, like, oh, you know, Mario Simona, my son is editing his movie.
Something similar happened. And, like, my dad always flexes now. It's because an instant crush, we got to work with a talented man named Bo Casper Smart. And famously, he's Jennifer Lopez's ex-boyfriend. No, so, you know, all the chisme people. And so my dad's like, oh, shit. And he's like, send me the clip. And he'll text me, hey, when I was editing Instant Crush, send me the clips with Casper. And so I'd send him, like, the clips. And then he'd flex it to his friends. Like, my son got to direct that, like, J-Lo's ex-boyfriend.
Casper.
Yeah, exactly. And then now when I go to his work, they're like, give me Casper's number or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so, like, that is, like, it's fun for that. Like, it's fun to get them involved. I'm like, look, like, this thing that, like, you thought, like, like, now I'm actually fucking thriving and I'm working with people that you know. Like, one more thing, I remember I got an interview with Univision. Mm-hmm. My dad was like, are you preparing for that? I mean, dad, it's just a general. It's not like a, you know, the background. Like, he's like, no, he's like, but have things lined up. You know, this is Univision, this is big. I'm like, dad, you know, I fucking worked.
This is your big break.
Yeah, this is your big break. I'm like, dad, you know, I have a movie, I have a series. He's like, no, but Univision, this is big.
That, fuck that.
And I remember at one point, I'm like, yeah, Univision. He's like, no. Not Univision, Univision. I'm like, all right, dad, Univision.
I'd slap someone that said it, call it Univision.
I know,
too.
It's my bad. So yeah, just, you know, chill. In short, chill. I think parents will come to understand in their own time and just have fun with it. Life, don't take life too seriously, man.
Don't get discouraged either. Like, if you see your homies getting degrees and you're not, keep your eyes on your own paper, like we said before. Like, don't compare your struggles or your progress to other people's struggles and progress.
Because that's the beauty of humanity. Everybody's story is somewhat the same, but all specific and different for them. And that's why we tell stories, because it's all different.
Be confident in the progress you're making, pretty much.
Yeah.
And keep your fucking eyes ahead.
Yeah.
That might be, I don't know. Do you have anything else?
I'm out of questions. That's all for me.
I think those are all the questions. And hopefully y'all enjoyed them. Thank you so much for the people that actually participated in our poll.
Yeah, folks.
You know who you are. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was fun. 10 episodes down.
Wow.
10 episodes to go.
Let's try something. How about we ask each other, like, one question that, like, we've kind of have never asked the other.
All right. Let me think then.
All right. I'll think I want to. Okay. Well, earlier when we were about to record the podcast, I was asking Angel about a female that that he had kind of mentioned once, and he's like, "Nah," he's like, "I'm not gonna go for her." He's like, "She's too wild." And so I won't get into the specifics, but I will say, Angel, what is your ideal woman? I don't remember if we get into this, and I don't think we do because I'm.
Is this about a relationship episode?
No, but I want to know, like, what do you look for? But it's weird because you did say, like, I don't want to be with someone, but like, if you could create your perfect woman,
if I can create a character.
Yeah, who would it be? How would you make her?
I don't know. I definitely don't have like a body type or anything like that.
Okay.
I think just someone that I posted an Instagram story that was just like, we have the same taste in movies. That's what it boils down to. Like, if you like the same movies I like, I think we're going to have a good time. But other than that, I think it's just someone that can hold a conversation and is interesting. And I'm finding more and more that I really enjoy the company of people that come from like really rich cultures and have.
Oh, so you only want wealthy people?
No, not.
Sorry, poor ladies.
Sorry,
yeah, I got a rich culture. That's
funny. Womp womp. Yeah, like rich cultures that have like stuff to say about their family and their past and like where they come from. I really dislike people that reject where they're from. And they're just like,
oh, yeah.
They're just like, no, I know I'm Puerto Rican, but like, I'm me. All that that happened before, all my history, that has nothing to do with me. I don't care. I am me now. Like, some people might agree with that, but I don't. Like, I think you hold your past, you carry your past with you no matter who you are. Like, that should happen and you can't take that away. So I like people that like embrace where they're from, who they are. And that they just care about making the world a better place.
That's sweet. I like that.
I think that's like, and if you can have a long ass conversation with me, then cool.
Just gotta be a talker.
Yeah, if you're fucking quiet, I mean, I'm still gonna talk a lot, but I would prefer to be quiet for some moments. Cause I've definitely been on dates where I'm just fuck, I'm talking the whole time.
Yeah,
and I'm leaving room for them to jump in.
Yep.
And they don't.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies. If you're a listener, and if you embrace your culture, if you're rich,
if you like the movie Clerks, and you like Quentin Tarantino,
and you have to be rich,
you have to have hit rich up Angel. Parents.
Angel's available for you.
Yeah, and if you don't like Seinfeld, then don't bother.
Oh, sorry. Don't even listen to this podcast anymore. Just stop.
Log off right now. Unsubscribe. My question to you, Chris.
Okay.
Is you're 22 or 23?
I'm going to be 22 in a couple weeks, October 3rd.
So in these 22 years of life, you've made a lot of connections, a lot of relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any people in your past that you regret losing touch with? And that you look back on and you're like, oh man, I wish that relationship or that connection didn't end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yep.
You know, I was kind of thinking about this today, actually, because I was looking for a picture of mine, like an old picture with me and a friend, and I was just scrolling through, like, and I was like, fuck, like, we used to, like, man, me and this fool used to be homies, like, ride or die. And it's like, nah, now I hate him. It's like,
oh, no.
not hate him, but like, I'm like, I don't like who he's become. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I miss the memories. I miss living in those moments.
Mm.
Because the thing is, those people that I lost touch with or whatever, like, even if we were to, like, somehow magically regain, like, this goes for my ex, this goes for my old high school friends, like, even if we were to reconnect, it wouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
What happened that separated us to begin with happened.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of things have happened, changed, and it just wouldn't be the same, and it would taint the memories that I have, the beautiful memories that I have with them. So to that I say, like, while it is a nice idea to be like, man, like I wonder, like, I just think, like, I'm just gonna enjoy the memories for the memories, and like, you know, you lose touch with certain people for a reason, one way or another. It all happens purposely. So
we can't help but looking back at old messages or pictures, and you're just like, man, we lived in that we lived in that moment.
And I'm grateful for it. Like, I was looking back and I'm like, man, like today, I'm telling you, today I was looking back at, like, and I like, coincidentally just went through all pictures of me and, like, girlfriends and stuff. I'm like, man, I've been with beautiful ladies. I'm like, I'm very fortunate that, like, I've really gotten to, like, I mean, not that there's anything, but, like, I'm just glad that, like, for as low as I always thought of myself, I always had somebody beautiful to compliment me, like, to compliment, like, my character. Like, like I always had at least some type of charm to attract somebody cute, beautiful. Like, that makes me really happy and says, like, if I, not even I at that age knew what I was capable of then, like, now that I'm starting to, you know, become more enlightened, more
confident,
now it's just going to be even greater. So that gets me excited.
It's the summer of George.
Summer of George.
That's a nice moment to end on.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And I want to say too, like, to that dude, like, I'm really happy that we connected in that, and that we didn't let the hate, undeserved hate, like, go on for too long.
Yeah. It was so funny. You're going to hear a guest podcast soon with this guy named Marvin.
Hell yeah.
And Chris was getting his truck to pack in the equipment. And Marvin's like, I didn't even ask you how you met. And I was like, oh, we met through this film program. Like, we actually hated each other when we first met. And he was just like, what? Like, you wouldn't think now how me and Chris, like, hang out and act around each other. Like, to think of how that relationship started. And, like, Chris gets out of the truck and I'm like, Chris, why did you hate me when you first met me? And you're like, oh, I just thought you, what did you say?
I thought you were snobby and I was putting the stuff away.
instantly knew the answer. Like, oh yeah, I just thought you were snobby. And I was like, oh yeah, you see that's what it was, Marvin. And he's like, oh, okay. And like, and to think that we eventually grew up and matured and took time to see each other how we actually are, as opposed to the person we thought we were. Like, I think that goes for everybody. Like, don't let the hate keep you away from someone that could possibly be a really cool friend.
Or a co-host.
Or a co-host.
I was actually thinking about this on the way over here. I'm like, man, I said, you know, like, it was a random thought. Like, I want to be in a movie with Angel. Like, I want us to act together. Like,
buddy cop.
Yeah, like, I want us to act together. I was listening to a song and, like, I got like an image of, like, you and me, like, kind of like doing like a similar dance move together, and like I saw it as a movie. I'm like, oh, I want to do a movie with Angel. I'm like, that'd be tight to act with him.
If someone wants to write and direct it, I would be super
cast down. Us.
Like, I think that would be the only way I would do it. I would not want to write or direct like a role for myself.
Okay,
I would let some. I want someone because
that'd be tight.
I've had people be like, I have this animation and I thought of your voice. Like, I need you to do it, and I was like, yeah, I'm down.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be like, this character's for me.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe it happens.
Hey, this podcast happened and I didn't think it was gonna happen.
Hell yeah. There you go. See, now you're what I love too is that Angel's taking after me in little ways where, like, instead of saying like, well, hopefully it happens, he'll be like, yeah, it's gonna happen. Like, that's cool.
I think this podcast is just like, it's proof that you just gotta fucking do it. And Chris already had that mentality before we started it. But I've had to learn that mentality through this podcast, honestly. It's like, you don't have to wait for anything. You just have to convince yourself that you can do it. And now I'm applying to film programs. I'm submitting to festivals. And now I'm like, I can do it. I'm submitting, not hoping that I'm going to get in. I know I'm going to get in.
Hell fucking yes!
Yeah, and it's just like, all you need to do is tell yourself, like, I'm fucking ready. And that's it. So...
that's perfect to close off right there.
With that. Everyone, as always, thank you for listening to the Us Podcast.
Thank you.
We are your hosts, Angel Salinas.
And Chris Carmona.
And this was the Us Podcast.
Goodbye.
Podcast about us.
Till next time. Bye. To all of us, bro. Hey everybody, thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast. You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at @angelisalinas_.
And you can follow me at the Chris Carmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
Please. All right. Bye. They put it pretty good.